Judges chapter 11. It's good to have Betsy back playing the piano, wasn't it? I could hear her out in the parking lot playing that thing. Judges chapter 11. This is a, I kind of said something about this Sunday night and was kind of give you a heads up we're going to be in this, and I said it was a weird message. It's probably why some of them stayed at home. Just kidding. I should have said it different. It's a different kind of message, but there's a point in it that when I was studying it and going through my reading that God has already put in my spirit to ask in our church as far as from a pastor standpoint and from a Sunday school standpoint and from a leadership standpoint. I was really just on the right on the cusp saying, hey, we need to start asking this. And I asked my son not long ago. He's in the youth across the street, so I could talk about him tonight. He don't feel embarrassed. But here's a good question. How does God govern you? How does God govern you? And he looked at me and goes, what do you mean? I said, when God becomes the Lord of your life, he is then the governor of your life. He allows you to do things and allows you not to do things. And then you have choice and freedom whether you're going to do it or not, but he governs. I said, what does it look like? He goes, well, I don't know if that's a good question. I said, it sounds like a real good question to me. But anyway, I just want, it's a question that this asks. In this message tonight, we're going to see that being asked. And so I found a better way to ask it. So Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Let me get into the message and we'll get on, because there's a lot of reading to do. I don't know how much reading. We might skip over into some parts of this. Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Now Japheth the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. A Gilead begot Japheth. And Gilead begot Japheth. Judges chapter 11, verse 1. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Japheth and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit the father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And Japheth fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men of Japheth, and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to fetch Japheth out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Japheth, come and be our captain, that we fight with the children of Ammon. And Japheth said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress? Let me preach and teach this kind of a little bit from right here. The book of Judges is a really neat place to express that God never chooses, hardly chooses, or rarely chooses people that make sense biblically. He never, these are some very complex people in the book of Judges that he uses. They're not just, they just ain't got a good side or a bad side, or they're not perfect, but they're people that God brings up to judge the wicked and really to set his people free. Yet they're complex people. There's more to them than just right or just wrong. Man, this is, are you getting it? Is there more to you than just right or just wrong? Is there more to your life than just spiritually right or just spiritually wrong? Is there more depth to it? Because I kind of see myself in this and I see others in it, that all of a sudden God picks these people in the book of Judges, especially Japheth. He's got a past that ain't good. But he's a mighty man of valor. Then he's an outcast. But then they come and get him because they need him to fight his battles. Is life not complex like that? We don't want them, we want them. The past, your past is kind of sketchy. I don't know if we want you in the church. Or your past is kind of sketchy. We don't know if we can handle you in a position with our name on you. Y'all are getting it now? But when the enemy's wearing us out, when we're surrounded and all the men, God, with all the men wanting to get rid of the person that had a past, but the person with the past is the only person who liked to fight. Are you getting it? Are you seeing it now? God had already said this is the man, but they said we can't agree with the man because the man's got a past and something on his record. That ain't going to look cool. But it doesn't look cool when you're dying. It don't look cool when you're getting wore out by the devil. It doesn't look good. And guess what? Somebody wisened up. Let's go down there and find Japheth. Let's go down there and talk to him. Because I'd rather go down fighting than going down scared. I love this. I think it's neat. And I love that the Bible's very clear to it. He asked them, I thought you didn't need me or want me. Man, if you just look in the book of Judges at all the characters in the book of Judges and think about them, right? Gideon, he's one of my favorite. God calls him, when he calls him out, he said, you mighty man of valor. I need you to win the war. At the same time, he was hiding. Amen? He was hiding. Man, Samson. God chose, God called one of the three people in the Bible that angels announced his birth. His mother and father couldn't have a child. Then all of a sudden they had a child. He's a miracle baby. He comes along and all of a sudden I'm like, man, this is a Jew upon all Jews. And man, we got us a judge and he's stronger than anybody in the world. And he falls in love with the Philistines. I mean, he comes home one day and says, hey, mom, dad, I found the girl of my dreams. Who is it? What's her name? Is it Rachel? Leah? Mary, you know, any of the great, no, it's a Philistine girl. I just ran into her, man, she's beautiful. Oh, man, got it. Dad, go down there and get her for me. That's exactly what he said. Dad, run there and get her for me. No, there's got to be some mistake. Amen? Now, this is the book of Judges. The character, I love these guys. I love these girls. Amen? I love them. I love the book of Judges. Because, man, God didn't pick one of them that was just, man, it's super spiritual, super perfect, super, everything in their life. No, they're complicated. Some of the things in Judges you're reading, you're going, is that the good guy or the bad guy? I don't understand. Was that the good guy that's doing that or is it the bad guy? You know why? Because I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on Wednesday night. I am. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I don't know what you're talking about. Man, some days, some months, some years, I'm the good guy. But if you read my whole story, is he a good guy or the bad guy? Oh, never mind. Can we be honest? Have you ever had a bad guy day? Have you ever had somebody in your family have to ask you, are you still believing in Jesus? No. I better move on for that. We might have a real testimony tonight. Verse 7, and Japheth said unto the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me? Did you hear it? Did you not hate me? And expel me out of the father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you're in distress? I'm not going to tie it all. I'm going to try to tie as much as I can of it. But the whole Bible's about God. It's all about Jesus too. But ain't that how we kind of treat God a lot of times? When he don't match up with us, we can't, and he's asking good questions. You hated me. You rejected me. But now that you're in distress. Here, he asks another good question right here. This is really the reason I come to preach tonight. This right here, this part. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit more, but this is exactly why I came. This is a good question. And I believe God's asking it to most people today. And the elders of Gilead said unto Japheth, therefore we turn again to thee now that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. What did they just say? We want you to be a charge. And Japheth said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again, look at this, verse 9. Y'all really looking at this 9 with me, okay, please? Watch this, look. And Japheth said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. You hear what he just said? What he asked? If I deliver you, can I lead you? Amen? Remember when I first started this, told you about the question? How does God govern you? Some people are saved, but God is not the leader. Some people are not saved, and God's still not the leader. Amen? Just because he's delivered you from your sin doesn't mean he is your leader as far as you let him govern your life. And that's why there's so much contrast, and you can't figure out why you're not much different than the world. Amen. That's why some people are having a hard time identifying as saved, because guess what? They got a profession of faith. They came and they asked for the free gift of salvation, but yet when God wanted to take that leadership role in their life, even though they might know that it's right and might want to, they never submit to it. Japheth asked a good question. He said, if I come up there and fight for you and deliver you, will you let me lead? That's a good question. I'm going to ask that question to our church. I want that to be on the hearts of our leaders and our teachers, asking their students, has God delivered you? Yes, he delivered me. Yeah, I got saved. I got a baptism slip. I did it. And you're like, okay, well, did you let him lead? Have you let him become the governor of your life? Have you let him make all the decisions, big ones, small ones, and everything in between? Because he wants to. Amen? Because he wants to. Did you know God wants to make every decision in your life? Big and small. He wants you to pray about it. He wants you to meditate about it. He wants you to consider him about it. He wants you to think about it. He wants you to say, all right, God, is this a good move for me? Will it help you with your kingdom? Because I want to help your king. I want to be right where I was. You know how many times I've made decisions as a believer that hindered my ability to serve God? Amen? Buy something without talking to God about it. Then you have to go work more than you get to do God stuff because you got to pay for what you bought. That's really good preaching. Right? Take a job, think, man, this is a blessing from God, but have to work every Sunday, every Wednesday. And then wonder, man, I feel so disconnected from God. Right? Got more money in my pocket, got no relationship with God. And I've started doing the things that the world, just different. If I deliver, will you let me lead? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. There's no sense if he has delivered and not letting him lead. Because then you know what you're going to do? You're going to be in more trouble and more punishment and more chaos than a lost person. Do you know what I just said? There'll be more chaos for you than there is a lost person. Can I go a little bit further on that? Because you see, what are you talking about? There'll be more chaos. Because God doesn't chasten those that don't belong to him. A person who's not saved will go on to continue to do those things. And guess what? They will get away with it scot-free. And you're going to be constantly arrested, beat up, left without. And you'll be sitting there going, what's happening to me? That guy does it. That girl does it. They did it. But I keep getting wore out. God's like, yes. And it will continue. Because let me tell you something. When you're running with the world, you're running with the devil. There's no kind of spiritual breakdown, right? When you turn and get saved with God, you're running with God. There's a pull of your old nature, right? But let me say this. If you get saved and try to run from God, you will run into God. And I want you to know this clearly. He never falls down. Ever. He never does. He never, like, I never knocked him back down. Oh, I'm getting my way. It's always me looking up going, huh? All right, Lord, I know I need, I'm going to, what? Turn. I hope y'all get that. That was the main reason for teaching this. Japheth, it was such an awesome guy. And just what a big place, you know, what a big thing in his life. I mean, to us it ain't, it probably is, but to be born of a prostitute in a Jewish culture. I mean, this guy was walking around and everybody was just like, that guy, you know what I mean? His past was big. It was almost big enough. Man, I almost felt we're about to roll into the Holy Spirit right here. I just feel it. His past was almost big enough to eclipse his whole life. Until God. Amen? God, we could just leave here. If you just get a hold of what I just said, we could leave here happy. I had enough in my past. You had enough in your past that could have eclipsed anything good about your life. You could have been known by your sin the rest of your life. But God. God gave him a heart and then decided he wanted to use him. And I didn't see some of this stuff and I just want you to see it. What did Japheth do when they said, get out? He left. Why? He didn't have to validate himself. I can be God's man over here just like I can be God's man over there, and I'll do over there, and maybe they'll come to me when they see. And guess what? He was over there doing the things of God, doing what he's supposed to do, and they found him. Do what you're supposed to do for God, even when everybody else seems to hate you, seem to reject you, and seem to have nothing to do with you. And guess what? Things just have a way. They'll come get you when they need you. sitting there thinking about Daniel when that happened. Remember when the hand came out and rolled against the wall and everybody's at the party but David or Daniel, right? And the queen came down and said, there's only one person to tell you what that means. Where is he? He's the second highest man in the kingdom and he wasn't at the party. You'll have to send for him. You know what I mean? All right. All right, I'm going to have to decide what we're going to do right here, if we're going to go through a lot of reading or not. But we'll take off at it real quick. Verse 9, and Japheth said unto the elders, if you bring me home again, jump down to 10. And the elders of Gilead said unto Japheth, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Japheth went to the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Japheth uttered all his words before the Lord of Mizpah. And Japheth sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in this land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered in the messengers of Japheth, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon, and even unto Jabbok, and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore the lands again peacefully. And Japheth sent messengers unto the king of children of Ammon, and said unto him, thus said Japheth, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. And but when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness under the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through the land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereunto. And in like manner he sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. And they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom, and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through the land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through the coast, but Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jaaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon, all his people, into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of the country, of that country. And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even to Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel had dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Will thou not thou possess the which Chemosh, the God giveth thee to possess. So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will he possess. And now art there anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon, her towns, and Aroer, and her towns, and all the cities that belong by the coast of Arnon, 300 years, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Japheth, which he sent. Then the Spirit of the Lord came unto Japheth, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpeh of Gilead, from Mizpeh of Gilead, passed over unto the children of Ammon. Whew, help me breathe. I read all that. I know that's a lot of reading. And I know you're sitting there going, man, that is wonky, you know? But I want you to get this. God raised up a judge who was half Gilead, half prostitute. A stranger. Yet when God got on him and was going to use him, he gave him a vast sense of knowledge and history. What he did is when all of a sudden he began to stand before this other king, and the other king started saying, you've robbed us and taken us. And he said, no, it's not true. When we came out of Egypt into the promised land, we asked to come peacefully through these lands, and you denied us, so therefore God took your land. So therefore God judged between me and you, and he found us to be righteous and you not righteous. Now therefore God is standing before us again today. And then right in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he crosses over into battle. Man, ain't that amazing? Now, I should have just said all that instead of reading it, but guess what? You got the bonus tonight. But I want you to get this. I love this. The Spirit came upon him. Now, verse 30, I want you to hear this. He did not have to do this, but he did it anyway, and it cost him. And Japheth vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I am returned into peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. This makes no sense. But sometimes we try to do something to add to what God does. He had given them grace and mercy. And God's grace and God's favor is enough. He should have recognized when the Holy Spirit came on him and he was given the green light to go into the battle that he did not have to test or try God. But I believe without a shadow of a doubt, lo, I come in the volume of the book. I believe God says, if you want to see what my grace cost, I will give you a taste. Whew, are you all right? I want you to hear that. If you want to know how much it cost for you to receive not salvation grace, just win a battle grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not salvation grace, but just win a battle grace. That means God will let you do something that you don't deserve to do, and I'll show you how much it's going to cost you. Sometimes spiritual stuff can get a little weird, can it? So I always say this, listen for confusion and strife, especially confused. If somebody says something that's confusing you, back up a little bit, slow down, and just say, wait a minute, show me God in this. Because all of a sudden, he's headed off to war, God's in it, he's speaking for God, he's got the Holy Spirit, he makes a vow, and then he says, the thing that comes to my door. I could understand if he had said, so the thing that was standing in my pasture, right? Okay, the thing that's out in my field. But if you start saying stuff like the thing that's standing in the doorway, I mean, what are the odds? Amen? So sometimes it can get weird, and it got weird, but I want to show you. Then it shall be whatever so have come to the door. Verse 32. So Japheth passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into the hands, and he smote them from Aor, even till thou camest to Minnith, even 20 cities under the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Japheth came to Mizpeh unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with the timbrels and with the dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. His daughter met him in the doorway. And man, when you first read it, you're like, wait a minute, what kind of book? And then I'm sitting here thinking, man, this is good that God puts this in here, lets us see it, but I want to show you how much grace would cost you. How much it would cost you if God, listen, I want you to write this down in this chapter in 11. What would it cost for God if you could help pay for some of your salvation? If you could pay God off to do something for you, how much would it cost? If you ask Japheth, he'd tell you this, too much. Way too much. Because I guarantee you when he made that vow, he wasn't thinking that my daughter's going to run through that door. Not just a daughter, but his only child. Man. I love, y'all want to get, you see how, I want to show you something. I want to show you how good God is in this. And it came to pass, when he saw her, he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, that thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." He said, I've spoke too soon. Y'all good? I'm going to give y'all something tonight that God dropped on me when I was getting this ready. In this right here, when I first started reading, I said, maybe I was hoping for a bad kid. I was being honest. You know, I was just hoping for a smart aleck kid. Or, shut up, daddy. You don't know the good, you know. Right? God shows you what it really cost. Right? Verse 36, and she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth." What? See it? Which would be harder, right? "For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of thy children of Ammon," and she said unto her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months that I may go up upon the mountains and bewail my virginity and I and my fellows." She said, let me go up with my friends and just pour my heart out to God that I'm never going to have the life. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have children. And I just want to go up with my friends and we're just going to cry about it. But I hope you can see Jesus in this, because I can. It would be 10 times harder. It'd be a million times harder to destroy an obedient son than it is a disobedient son. A disobedient daughter than an obedient daughter. To somebody who says, "I'll honor God with my sacrifice. Just let me go up there and mourn before God and come back." Whew. Man, I don't know about you, but I'll guarantee you Japheth would rather go to war a million times a million. Those 2 months were the most miserable 2 months of his life. What did I do? What have I done? And 2 months later, she comes walking out of the mountains, right? And she said unto her father, "Let this thing be." Verse 38, and he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went into her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Japheth the Gileadite four days in a year. Ain't that amazing? They remembered her. Why? Because her sacrifice to a vow that her father made that he wished he hadn't made. And they honored that Jewish custom still honors that. Amen? The Gileadites, right? Well, guess what? We're still recognizing Jesus because guess what? He became an obedient son who said, "You know what, Father? You made it. This is the only way out. This is the only way it can be done. And this is what it cost. This is what it cost. This is what grace cost. I don't want to taste what grace costs. I don't want God to say, all right, God, it's me and you, or it's me and you getting me saved. It's you did the most work and I did some of it. Or God, you did this and I did that. Or no, it's all God. It's all His grace. It's all His mercy. We're saved by His grace. We're saved by His mercy. We're saved by what He did. And we couldn't afford it if we wanted to pay it. One part of me, when I read Judges 11, goes, whew, man, why is that in there? The other part's in there going, thank you for reminding me how much did it cost. The first part of it reminds me of this. Let God be God in your life. If He's delivered you, let Him lead you. Let's all stand.